Verse 11, Psalm 77, we pray you bless your word, Lord God. Not only will it make impact and touch down on the soil of our being, Lord Jesus Christ, as human beings here before you, but will lift us up, Lord God, out of the miry clay, out of the muck and mire, Lord God. I want to pray against right now, against the evil spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, of lust. Right now you're cast out in the name of Jesus. I want to come against anything that is of doubt in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to come against anything, Lord Jesus Christ, that is a lie, the spirit of lying in the name of Jesus Christ. You are cast out by the authority and the blood of Christ. You are no longer welcome. You must leave the temple of God. This is the sanctuary dedicated for his presence. Holy Spirit, power of God, we pray you infill that place now, those voids, Lord Jesus Christ. That we'd be filled with the power from on high. Lord God, give us that fire over our heads now, Lord Jesus Christ, as it was in the birth of your church, the birth of your bride, and the start of the great gracious product that we are, Lord God, the great harvest that we are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. This speaks of near and far, speaking of just things this past week. Some of you shared some things. Maddie shared some things about when he was in prayer, how God directed him in Job. Kristen shared about just an immediate concern about praying for babies, her cousin, and praying also for Isaac. Dick Anthony shared about a cool thing that happened with a friend that's been restored to the Lord, going back to church. Other things were shared and concerns. I will remember, this is important, what's happening when those things are being shared, you guys are experiencing a download. Things are being downloaded into your heart, into your soul, into your mind. When that happens, God would encourage us to upload those at different times and remember that, yeah, there is hope. Even though that somebody's been away from the Lord for a long time, there is hope. Years and years can go by. Yeah, there is hope. We can pray when we hear that there's sickness and challenges. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. That's the upload. The meditation is the upload. We need a download first. You hear the word of God. You hear the teachings. You hear the testimony. And then you meditate on them. You bring them up out of memory. And talk of thy doings. So not only do we think on these things, it starts to come out of our mouth. Why is that important? Why is it important to gather and talk about his doings? So we can grow in faith. The worst thing you can be is isolated. And people with titles can even do that. You got to be careful. People with a title of a pastor or the title of a doctor or something like that, because of this title, they've got to feel like they don't have vulnerabilities, they don't have problems, they don't have issues. We need to come together and be honest. We need to tell our brothers and sisters when we're going through hard times and ask for prayer. Titles don't mean anything. They really don't. The only title that matters is God's title. You know, we're all clay pots down here. He gives us different functions and roles, and then we attach titles to them. But Jesus would say, don't call anybody even, you know, Father down here. Just tearing away from that idea that we hide behind titles. And then men and women can become isolated in that title. And it's because I'm a pastor, because I'm a mom, because I'm a dad, because I'm this, I'm a business professional. I can't be vulnerable. I can't ask for prayer. I can't have a failure in my life. So until it becomes a train wreck and then it's obvious and then everyone knows. Very important. Getting together, being honest, sharing with one another the hurts, sharing with another the joys, meditating of thy work, talking of thy doings. It's very easy to not come to church. It's very easy to forsake the assembly. All it takes is one little reason. And Satan will blow that up like a snowball going downhill, bigger and bigger and bigger. They don't like me there. Or I'm weird. Or they think I'm this way. Oh, they're just this way and I'm not. I hear that. I'm sure you do. Because it's the same devil that speaks to me, you know. The spirit of discouragement that would keep me away from coming together and experiencing the power. So yeah, sometimes it's a struggle to come, but I'm always happy that I do. I'm encouraged hearing the things that God is doing. I'm encouraged to hear faith come out of people's mouths as they speak. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? So part of what's going to unfold, is the way of God. So part of the subject today, the main theme today that you're going to hear from the scripture is the way of God. And that was actually mentioned two times in the sharing today of scripture. Roger mentioned Psalm 119, my ways. And then someone else mentioned it. Maddie mentioned his ways being higher. So my ways and his ways. So this word way is all through the Bible, but particularly the Psalms. It's very rich in the Psalms. The way of God and the way of man. We're going to be focusing on the way of God, but we're going to talk about the way of man a little bit as well, because it's brought up here, especially in Psalm 78. Roger also shared about a failure in life. And we're going to see that in Psalm 78. This is the reality we all have. Nobody walks above this earth except God. Our feet are on the ground. As much as we have titles and we can look fancy and wear suits and ties and impress people, we all have this thing in our life that we need a Savior. I guarantee you, anybody you meet on the street, anybody you meet in Walmart and Wegmans, anybody and everybody you meet needs to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Thou art the God that does wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah, thinking about all the stories that are attached to those two particular names. We could go there or not. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. Interesting, when we attach those type of attributes of water seeing or a storm hearing the voice and command of Jesus to be calm. But the Bible does that. The scripture speaks to that. How can that be possible? A storm doesn't have ears. Water doesn't have eyes. Well, yeah, it does. The water, the storms, they all are able to respond to the voice of God. So at some level, at some type of reality, everything is under the dominion of God. That means under the authority and power and rule of God. The waters saw thee in verse 16, O God. The waters saw thee, repeats. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. That's the whirlwind. Remember the vortex teachings. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Just walking around Casey Park this past week and saw the effects of what lightning can do to a tree. Amazing. It actually boils the inside of a tree and the tree explodes. It's that hot. Good thing to avoid. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. When we take communion today, we're going to talk about two places, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. Jerusalem. You're dwelling on one or the other. Here we come to this word again, used twice in this particular psalm. Thy way is the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This way of God, I will submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, the way of God is not the way of man. His ways are higher than ours. As high as the heaven, they are. We can get stuck in our ruts and our ways, And we get stuck and we feel like this is all life is. I eat, sleep, and I have certain bodily functions that need to be satisfied once in a while. This is life. No, that's the way of man. And that's the way man would tell you it is. And that's all life is. You live, eat, sleep a while, and you suffer a little bit and die. And that's the end of everything. It is not. You were created by a God of eternity to bring you into eternity. You're a child of God to experience eternity, to be a child of God. That childhood is realized when you humble yourself as a child, as was read today about repenting and Job and dust and ashes, and realizing that you are a sinner. That childhood begins that day you confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I'm going to follow Him all the days of my life. I realize that I've been created, as Roger said, to worship Him. That I sit in the darkness, yet I see the light coming. That is a child of God speaking there. Those are the words of a child of God. That's the way of God. Yeah, I want to blast the turkey's head off. That's the way of man. But there's something else going on out there. Bring provision for my family. That's all good stuff. There's something else. There's a deeper thing that transcends all of the food and all of that temporary pleasure. There's a God that created me that's causing this sun to rise. And His faithfulness is just as that sun rising. Patty shared about her accident with Roger. And that was the thing that was put on my heart the next day as they were sharing different aspects of that and of the accident. That was the single thing that was on my heart was to take a picture. It was a beautiful day the next day, to take a picture of the sun. And they did one better. They took a picture of themselves in the sun. I said, that's a special sun. And realize the gift of life and the preciousness of it. And I think that whole event really spoke to them a lot. The clouds poured out water, the sky sent out a sound. God is awesome. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path is great waters. Thy footsteps are not known. So two things being spoken of here about the way of God. The first one is in verse 13, thy way is in the sanctuary. And the next one, thy way is in the sea. And a kind of a mysterious one. It's like somebody walking on the sea, you can't track them. All you hunters out there, it's hard to track a deer that's walking on the water, walked across a creek. So the steps are removed. It says his footsteps are unknown. The water erases it. So there's a mystery about God. I like this mystery. I like this mystery. Truth is stranger than fiction, folks. You don't need to go to movies and watch this weird stuff that people dream up. Truth, just everyday life and the mysteries of God and the truth of Him is much more interesting. It's fascinating. Truth is stranger than fiction. It's more fascinating. It's more intriguing. It draws me in. So there's a mystery about God. There's a way about Him that causes me to be intrigued and interested and want to take that next step, following Him. In verse 13, thy way also is in the sanctuary. This is the more obvious one. The sanctuary, you could think of as where we're gathered here today. This building is set apart for God. Sanctuary means holy. Simply, that's the word holy right there, a holy place. Something set apart for God. You have certain things that are set apart just for you. You have certain things that are set apart just for you and the relationships that you have that are only exclusive to that. That's the idea of holiness, that there's something special. There's something set apart. We get weird ideas when we think of holy. We think of people with fancy costumes and pointy hats and bells that are ringing and ornate things. That's not what holiness is. Not at all. Holy is something set apart for God. Roger is holy. When he gave his life to God, he became holy. He became a child of God, set apart for God. Kristen is holy. Set apart for God. This building is holy because it's set apart for God. We don't have jujitsu here on Monday nights. We don't have Girl Scouts the next night. Why? We could. It would be okay in one sense, but it's not okay in another. Because we love God to this degree that we want it set apart for Him and only Him. That when we're here, it's glorifying Him in everything that we do. So that's the way of God, that there's things that are set apart and special and holy. That's part of the ways of God. And you gathering together today in the sanctuary kind of gives that idea. So we kind of learn of the ways of God as we hear people talking. I hear the way of God. I'm hearing it from Dick Anthony. I'm hearing it from Maddie. I'm hearing it from Terry. I'm hearing it from Patty Roger, Kristen. I'm hearing the ways of God. I'm hearing from Tom. I'm hearing it. I'm seeing it, all of you before me. The ways of God, that He would have us gather together and care for one another. So some of the ways of God are very known. We have the Bible before us. This is a book that's set apart from every other book. This is part of the way of God, that He would provide something very obvious to us. Something set apart. There's no mystery. Okay? There's no mystery here. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is something set apart and holy. You might have Holy Bible written on the front of it. Prayer, as was Maddie was saying, he was in prayer. That's something that's set apart. That's holy. That's something unique that we do with God. It's something special. Do you see that, what that word means now? What holiness means? It's important because this is the way of God, that He has certain things special and set apart for us to experience with Him. Do you have a Bible at home? Are you in it? Are you spending time with it? That's a sanctuary. That's sanctuary. I need to do sanctuary. You've heard of that word maybe from used in different ways. Sanctuary, sanctuary. As the humpback of Notre Dame is running, right? What's he looking for? He's looking for that safe place. He's looking for safety and to be protected. This is a safe place to be. God would provide these things for us. Marriage is set apart, is sanctified, is holy, as God designed it. So these are the things that are known to us. Singing is something that is set apart and holy, and we should participate in. As we do that, we grow in God. We grow in our walk in Him. This other one in verse 19 is the one that causes me to keep coming. The intriguing part about God. Ever have a relationship with somebody and it's just like they have that little mysterious element about them? If you ever met my son Tony, you know what I'm talking about. The little bit of a mysterious element about them. It causes you to kind of like, how do you tick? You know, what's going on here? And they're intriguing. They're interesting. They cause you to kind of like, you're fascinated with them. And God, the glory of God is certainly realized here. There's a way about God that is like that. It's so much higher, it says in Isaiah 55, that it's as high as the sky, high as the heavens are from man and his ways. I like that. I like that. Do you know we're going to experience that for eternity? That drawing to God and learning about Him and experiencing this awesome, mysterious God because He's infinite. I think it's so strange that here I am, this little tiny man, and one of the Psalms talks about that. Paul even means small, so that doesn't help out. I'm short. I don't need a small name. A little tiny speck on this little ball of dirt called Earth, which is a speck in a huge universe. It's so tiny, so tiny. Yet I have this mind that can think outside of the universe and think bigger than the universe, that all things are possible, and think wild things. And it can go outside of all of this universe. So I've got this mind that's bigger than the universe, yet I've got this body that's so tiny. What a strange existence this is. Yet we see that in Ecclesiastes 3, that God put eternity in man's heart. He made man this little clay vessel, and then he put something really big in us called eternity. Yeah, it's not just intelligence up here. It's not just, we're just a creature that has a little more intelligence than the woodchucks that are announcing spring out there. Yeah, we're just a little more smarter. No, man, there's something else going on. There's an eternity. There's something that causes us to probe out there in outer space. There's something that says, I want to find out what's at the edge of the universe. There's something that causes us to dig and dig and dig. That's the eternity. That's a sign of God put in us to seek after Him. The ways of God. The known ways and the unknown ways. Psalm 78. We're going to do some downloading as far as we can go, and we'll break bread. Be ready. Stretch your neck out. Stretch your ears. Anybody wiggle their ears in here? No. Are you ear wigglers? Come on, Chris, you're ear wiggler. Interesting that Jesus would say, God would tell us in His Word, that faith comes by hearing. In hearing the word of God. Well, we have an ear wiggler? Kristen?
I was trying to do it, but he can't. He's going.
He's straining. But I think why that particular sense was chosen as the chosen sense is that's one that you can't go in both directions with. Like you can be touched or touch. You can see. Or be seen, you know, there's that two-way thing. But with hearing, it's just that one way. And we know that faith is so important that it comes by hearing. It is nothing that we do. It is totally what has been done on the cross. So I like that particular sense. Yeah, we experience all the senses. We taste and see that the Lord is good. We see what God has done. All of those things are used. But hearing in particular was chosen because I believe that speaks to faith in that way, that it's God's faithfulness. That's what God has done. Didn't plan on saying that. That was a freebie. Give ear, O my people, to the law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Maybe that's where that came from. Inclining your ears to the words of my mouth. Give ear, O my people, to the law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. This is an LOL kind of from Psalm 77 because we have a psalmist saying, God, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. And Psalm 78 is God saying, listen to me, listen to me, open your ears. So just the kind of both happening, and we know what Jesus did on the cross kind of makes them come together. This crying out of man unto deaf ears, what seems to be, and God speaking to His people unto deaf ears, what seems to be. Jesus Christ would make it possible. He would bridge that connection, just like at Camp Gregory, crossing that bridge. Jesus Christ made that possible for us to have communion with God, prayer with God anytime, any situation, no matter how bad you had a day or what you did, you can have communion with God because you're covered in the blood. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Someone read a parable today. It's one of the parables. Kristen did from Luke 6. I will speak in parables. Here it is way back in the Psalms before the birth of Christ even, that particular word being spoken. Remember, God indwells all of time. He's a God that indwells yesterday, He's a God that indwells right now, and He's a God that indwells the future. We can't do that. We live in the present. God is everywhere also. He is everywhere. We can't do that. We're only in one place. This is showing us some of that God exists in all of time. This word spoken is also being spoken at a future time out of the mouth of Jesus. And Jesus speaking that in the future time, he's also speaking that in the past. That's really cool. My mind likes to play with those things. It's part of the mystery of God that I get intrigued and it draws me in. How can God exist in all of time? We know that before the foundation of the world that Jesus died. Before the world was even formed, it says Christ was crucified. He exists all of time. He exists all. He embraces the whole fullness of time. If you understand what that means, you can explain it to me because I just like saying it. Which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Terry shared about the generation, the importance of that, the significance of fathers, mothers, grandmothers, grandparents being here, aunts and uncles, that kind of thing. Encouraging the children, what Amy is doing out in the children's Sunday school, teaching them the Word of God, how significant that is, how we rejoiced when that started, the wheel started going with that. The room coming together, the construction that went behind that, the different people that put into that, all of that right here for verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Such a precious thing. I know our church moves in very tiny micro steps, but I believe they're led of the Lord. And to see someone in their heart, to speak to them, God speak to them in a way, it's like God is showing me to do this, as opposed to someone saying, you know what, can you do this week? And then maybe next week this person can fill in for babysitting out back. What is that? This is the way of the Lord. God's put something on my heart. He's been speaking to me about teaching kids. You heard Amy's testimony. Did you guys hear that? This is the way of God. There's fruit in that. There's wax fruit if you do it man's way. If it's babysitting out back and you know, it's like, okay, someone else's turn to babysit. It's wax fruit. It looks like something. When you bite it, it doesn't taste very good. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. Future generations, great, 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 great grandchildren, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Beautiful. I was actually planning on being here. I'm glad I wasn't last Sunday because I just fell upon a particular testimony. I'm really blown away with testimonies. I didn't realize that until I just finally put two and two together. I could be like completely consumed by someone's testimony for like more than a week. And I'm like in a zone. I don't know if that's unique or not, but I just realized that's what I do. But when I hear someone, true stories, you hear me say, that? You know, if there's a movie or something like that, is it a true story? And if it's not, it's like, okay, whatever. But if it is, it's like, okay, I want to hear that. There's something about the testimony that really sticks, and it's the download that we need. It's the download that we really need, is the testimony of the saints of God. This particular one that I got to listen to was from Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis. Anybody ever hear of Ken Ham? What kind of ham?
Yeah.
Virginia Ham? Ken Ham. He's from down under, Australia. It's a kind of a long one. It's over an hour. But in tears, just you know, you see people and it's like, well, you know, there they are and you assume that's, you know, somebody handed them the silver spoon kind of thing. And, you know, this, it just happened. And you see the real testimony and the trusting of God. And it really, it's a great download. So I shared it on my Facebook wall. If you're not a friend of me on Facebook, you can send me a friend request or whatever. Or search for Ken Ham called Fire in My Bones on YouTube. Fire in My Bones. So he has a life-size ark out in Kentucky, which the men are going to go see sometime, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Where are we going?
We resolved to do that, and I was reminded of that. His father, Ken Ham's father. So a lot of he talked about three special people in his life. He had so many people that he's met, big people, big wigs, PhDs, all the stuff that he's met in his life. He's a scientist, creationist, and so he takes you through the ark and sees this is how God did it. Life-size ark. Creation Museum, and it just really blows you away. He's got molecular biologists there on staff, PhDs, astronomers, said it right? Astrophysicists. Beautiful staff of people, but he's, you know what he said? When he gave his testimony, I want to tell about three special people. Mom, Dad, my wife. Wife is super shy. She's not in the limelight in the ministry, super shy. Her calling was this, and she told him this. And when she heard it in a sermon, she says, Ken, this is me for you. And it was the message of Ruth. Where you go, I will go. I will follow. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I will die where you die. That type level of commitment. And it's just... At 30 years of marriage, that was part of why I was in tears of realizing that that's a significant thing. It's such a significant thing to have that level of commitment to each other. Fireworks are great. Great message. I encourage you to listen to it, a great download again, and then upload it. Meditate. Think about these things. I started looking at, I was so motivated, I started looking at the jobs at Answers in Genesis. I was ready to move. I was so excited. You know, I get that way, but I calm down. You know, they're looking for IT staff, they're looking for food managers, they're looking for zookeepers, they got kangaroos there in the zoo. You name it, scientists. Preachers, Sunday school teachers, maintenance folks, groundskeepers, horticulturists, biologists, botanists. They've got to need one of those down there. So that's in Kentucky. And so I'm excited to, now that I've heard about it, a lot of cool stories in there. Don't have time for that. We're going to go right to the story now of... the significance of why we're meeting today, communion. The greatest story ever told. What Jesus did on the cross for us. So we'll call the kids in now. So part of what we're doing this morning is part of this is sanctuary, this is holy. This is set apart. This isn't something that we do normally. It's something special that we do because of what God did. So this is part of the way of God. This particular event is obvious. I'm going to pour some juice in cups, and I'm going to make available this bread here. So that's known. It's something you can see. You can see with your senses and everything, but there's something unknown about this, isn't there? There's something unknown. You can't see the footsteps through the water. There's a mystery about this that causes us to be interested and intrigues us. Why would God send his son and die for us? Couldn't there be some other way? Couldn't he send down a 50-foot Robotron kind of thing and just smash evil and say, shape up? Couldn't he just send another flood, or something of that nature? Just keep wiping them out, erasing the board? Why? Sending his own son out of eternity, coming into our existence here. In the waters of humanity with us. Not only that, not just to come down and talk to us, but to die for us. This is a mystery. for me? You loved me while I was a sinner, while I was doing things that hurt you. You loved me, God, enough to die for me? I don't know what this love is, but I know I need that for her. Because my love runs out after 6 weeks. It's based on fireworks. It's based on flesh. I need to know this love, Lord God. I know you've created me for something more. I'm going to read from Hebrews 12 here. And the invitation is to all to come and take part in what God has done. How dare that I would withhold from anyone. But I would say this. To take it seriously, what God has done for you. And it is a time of self-examination. It's a time of reflection, not of the person sitting next to you, but the one that looks back in the mirror. And that's very holy to do that. The Bible sets apart a time for us to examine ourselves. It's a sanctuary time. It's a holy time. Where am I going, God? Where am I going? Teach me your way, God. I want to follow you. Hebrews 12 talks about the two mountains. This is our communion message, very short one. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust with a dart. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. There is an infinite power and majesty of God. That he's invited us to come and partake in, but we can't come on our own. We need to be covered in his righteousness. It is such a powerful fire. It is such a beautiful pureness that we would vaporize. God made it possible for us to experience his power, his majesty, his glory by this. By coming to this earth, being born as a baby, experiencing all the family issues of brothers and sisters and mom and dad, friends, betrayal, all of that, to bring it to the cross, to a culmination, to a point. And finally, take your and my sin and everything, past, present, and future, and consume it on the cross. So as we consume these things today, our download is to understand that he consumed our sin on that cross. Praise God. I pray right now. There's a sense of something going on today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. I'm going to deal with that. Don't be afraid to come up and receive from God. There isn't a little bit holier you can get to receive this. This is what makes you set apart. By receiving what Jesus did, not the grape juice and the bread, not the physical elements. It's the mystery behind it. It's the way of God and his way of loving you. It's the agape of God, this mysterious love that goes beyond everything we've ever done. And he loves you just as you are and wants you to come into this place of rest. You are come to a Mount Zion, unto a city of the living God, not to a place of fear. The heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some will be just young enough to understand that they're coming up for a little something to eat. Some a little bit older, starting to get the idea that this is something different. This isn't what we do every day. This is a little different. There's something special going on. I pray, Lord God, that we get a little more of that mystery today. I don't know half of it. I don't know a tiny bit of it, Lord. We're just scratching the surface how you could love us all. I pray for that impact, Lord God, as we take communion, as we receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy, holy Lord. Loves Jesus.
I do.
All right. Amen. Praise God. Have a great day. Thank you, Jesus.